Our next panelist is Dr. Alessandro Di Meo, who is an early career member of the Royal Historical Society in London. Alessandro, the floor is yours.
Yes. Thanks to everyone. Today, I want to thank Professor Rowena Abdul-Razzaq for inviting me to participate in this very interesting conference, and Professor Pascal Moret for his excellent introduction. Today, I will discuss the Italian presence in the Malay Peninsula, a topic derived by the research I completed from my PhD thesis, which focused on scientific explorations and colonial attempts by Italy in Southeast Asia, particularly in the Malaya archipelago, between 1865 and 1885. I am sharing with you the slides I have prepared. Today I will speak on the connections between the Malay Peninsula and the Kingdom of Italy in a global perspective. The first reports on the peoples of the Malay Peninsula date back to the 16th century, when Malaysian merchants such as Cesare Federici and Gaspar Baldi published some accounts of their voyages in the Indian Ocean. At the time, the port city of Malacca was one of the world's major trading centers, with roads connecting it to the ports of the Mughal Empire in Persia and West. On the other, in the east, there were active trade routes with the islands of the Malay Archipelago, the Kingdom of Champa and Korea. The writings of some European merchants active in the city mentioned both the growing commercial volume of the port and, at the same time, the presence of a cosmopolitan community composed of Arab, Persian, Asian and European merchants. Next slide. I have reported the front piece of Viaggio dell'India Orientale e Oltre by Cesare Federici. The trade routes connecting Malacca with the Italian states remained active throughout the 17th century. However, they declined from the 18th century onwards, when the Italian presence in Southeast Asia was limited to Barnabite and Franciscan missionaries. The Odyssey's political rapprochement with France favored French support for Catholic missions, with the result that missionaries' reports were mainly written in French. At the same time, publication in Italian on Asian civilization declined steadily. The situation changed during the 19th century, particularly with the achievement of Italian national unity. To gain recognition abroad, the new state organized numerous political and scientific expeditions led by the Navy to establish diplomatic and commercial relations with countries in Asia, Oceania, and the American continent. And in 1866, relations with the Chinese Empire in Japan were officially established. 2 years later, the Italian government signed bilateral agreements with Siam, and in 1871, a treaty of friendship and trade was signed with Burma. The Kingdom of Italy's need to obtain silkworm seeds for its textile industries. At the same time, the desire to establish colonial presence to assert itself as a great power in the European context prompted the Italian government authorities to enlist the help of compatriots residing in East Asia to explore areas deemed suitable for obtaining a territorial concession to be used as a penal colony or commercial outpost. In this context, the Malay Peninsula was visited several times by Italian Navy officials, mainly commercial and cultural connections with the Kingdom of Italy were managed by navigator Enrico Alberto d'Albertis, merchant Giovanni Bergino, and, above all, Captain Giovanni Battista Cerruti, who settled among the Maindarat people and was recognized by the British colonial government as their superintendent. The first scholar that I have examined was Enrico Alberto d'Albertis. He carried out numerous voyages around the world, starting in 1873, when he began to devote himself to pleasure boating. He reached Australia and made 3 circumnavigations of the globe. Moreover, he carried out a circumnavigation of the African continent. His collaboration with naturalist Giacomo Doria, director of the Natural History Museum of Genoa, permitted him to come into contact with a circle of scientists and scholars, including Odoardo Beccari, Raffaello Gestro, Orazio Antinori. In 1877, he completed his first accompanying Beccaria to the islands of the Maria Archipelago and Sumatra. During his first circumnavigation campaign, D'Albertis visited the Malay Peninsula. He sent a letter to Giacomo Doria, in which he focused on his meeting with his cousin, the naturalist Luigi D'Albertis, who had settled himself on the island of Roro to conduct naturalistic research and prepare expeditions along the Flaminger, which, a few years later, allowed him to reach the interior of the island of Papua New Guinea, the last unknown land at the time. At the end of his travels, Enrico D'Albertis retired to private life and in 1932 left his castle to the city of Genoa. Today it is used as a museum, containing the ethnographic collections assembled during his travels, as well as artifacts collected by Luigi Maria D'Albertis in Malaysia and New Guinea, a collection of 21,000 photographs, and an impressive number of notebooks and travel diaries. In the next slide, I have reported autographed letters and telegrams by Enrico D'Albertis and a wooden model of the Corsol cutter conserved today in the D'Albertis castle. In 1878, naturalist Odoardo Beccari traveled to the first Asia to study the recently discovered flora of the Malay Archipelago. Over the years, he presented the results of his studies in a scientific journal entitled Malaysia, which he published from 1887 onwards, with the aim of illustrating to global academic institutions the discoveries he had made during his travels in the Malay Archipelago. In the second half of the 19th century, discussions among botanists and natural scientists contributed to the formation of transnational networks of scientific knowledge, supported by the creation of botanical collections, herbaria, and gardens featuring tropical plants. In the last decades of the 19th century, botanical gardens, modeled on Kew Gardens in London, were opened, contributing significantly to the expansion of global scientific networks and the circulation of information, as Beccari noted in the journal's introduction. He wrote, "The purpose of this publication is to share the botanical findings obtained during my travels in the Malay and Papua Archipelago. However, I don't intend to limit myself to merely describing them, but also to include various types of research of the findings found in the region I explored. The primary objective of this work, of the scientific journal Malaysia, was to classify the distribution areas of various plant species found in Southeast Asia, distinguishing between those native to the Malacca Peninsula and those native to the Malay-Papuan Archipelago. Later, Beccari became director of the Central Herbarium in Florence, left a collection of 60,000 botanical specimens and several specimens of palm trees discovered during his travels in Asia and later in Africa. His studies garnered considerable international recognition, as evidenced by the numerous letters from European and American botanists, now preserved in the Natural Archive of the Herbarium in Florence. Among his correspondents, it was the British naturalist Alfred Russel Wallace who wrote to him to request information on the flora of Borneo and Sumatra, with the intention of clarifying the geomorphological origin of some of the islands in the archipelago. Second field was represented by dictionaries and linguistic studies, and in this case I have examined the work of Giovanni Gagino. He was a merchant, and he worked as an interpreter and mediator due to his knowledge of the main European languages. In addition to English, he spoke fluent French, Spanish, and Portuguese, and learned Malay, skills he used to combine his dictionary. In 1876, he founded a trading company in Singapore, and within a few years, successfully developed this business, gaining concessions on Tioman Island and on Freshwater Island, located a few miles from Singapore. During his lifetime, Gagino published three books, an account of his trip to China, a collection of aphorisms and proverbs common in the East, and the Italian Malay Dictionary, Dizionario dell'Italiano Malese, grammar and language handbook to facilitate conversations between merchants and the peoples of Southeast Asia, the to a conversation manual for compatriots interested in starting business in Southeast Asia. The entrepreneur's glossary was part of a tradition of Italian money dictionaries compiled since the 16th century. It began with the dictionary compiled by Antonio Pigafetta in 1519. According to Pigafetta, Malay was a lingua franca in the Indo-Pacific region, and he compiled approximately 400 entries to facilitate communication and the management of commercial negotiation. In the genus dictionary, Malay terms are transliterated into Latin characters, and the Italian spelling system is followed to facilitate the correct pronunciation of words, accompanied by the corresponding Malay word in Jawi. The Arabic Malay writing system was spread in the area of the time. And the following slide, I have reported a page extract from the Dizionario Italiano Malese. The last scholar is Giovanni Battista Cianuti. He was a merchant and played a key role as a cultural intermediary between Italy and the Malaysian peoples, particularly the Maidarat, who lived in the interior of the Malay Peninsula. In 1872, Cianuti embarked himself on the Corvet Governor, tasked with carrying out an exploratory mission in the Malay Archipelago, where negotiations were underway between the Italian government, the Sultan of Brunei, and the British Foreign Office to obtain a territorial concession in the Sabah region. During this trip, Cianuti met the explorer Giacomo Bove, who in early 1874, with engineer Felice Giordano and Dr. Paolo Bocca, made the first ascent of Monte Napoleon Borne, the highest peak in Malaysia. And in the following slide, I have reported an image of Monte Napoleon and a photograph of the time with the governorship. Cianuti traveled repeatedly between Siam, the Dutch East Indies, and the island of Nias, where he carried out the exploratory campaigns. He accompanied several scholars, such as the ethnographer Enno Viviani in 1886, and the following year, the Austrian Baron Joachim von Brenner. Modigliani, in his report on the results of his scientific studies, mentioned Cianuti, writing that he helped him set up the natural history collections and accompanied him on some particularly challenging explorations. The Baron von Brenner mentioned Cianuti only one in his memoirs, writing that he had supervised the transfer to Gunung Sidoli of the cargo of goods previously purchased in Java and Rana to facilitate contacts with the local populations. During the years, Cianuti spent between Nias and the Malacca Peninsula, Cianuti also assembled a remarkable ethnographic collection, which he sold to the Penang government in 1891. It was subsequently transferred to the Karak Museum in Taiping. At the same time, he donated another extensive collection of Malaysian weapons and artifacts to the city of Savona, which was lost during the Second World War. The explorer resumed his travels, visiting the interior of the Malay Peninsula in search of gold and tin mines. Conclusion, I will speak on the encounter with the Maidarat. In 1893, Cianuti came into contact with the Maidarat for the first time. The Maidarat was a population settled in the Malacca hinterland, and over the next 15 years, Cianuti learned the language and traditions of the Maidarat, gradually integrating with them and becoming a full member, the extent that he was recognized as their superintendent by the British foreign authorities. The explorer also argued that the British government authorities were interested in promoting the full commercial development of their colonies, and resent they made out of a network of foreign, European and Ottoman advisors and entrepreneurs. In his opinion, the anti-slavery policies introduced by the British were still unable to prevent the raids and kidnappings carried out by other Malaysian communities against the Maidarat, plundering villages and enslaving their inhabitants, resulting in a steady decline of the population. And to justify his decision to settle among the locals, Cianuti wrote that he preferred to live according to the slow pace of life, free from the competition from above typical of the Western world, in a social context where there were no economic inequalities among the population. Cianuti, in his books, including numerous philosophical iterations, aimed at demonstrating in the presence of a local social system based on egalitarianism and controlled consumption of economic resources. During these years, Malaysia explored, established several rubber tree plantations and explored the interior region in search of mineral deposits. In 1906, Cerruti was invited to participate in the International Exposition in Milan, and in this occasion, he presented some artifacts from the Taimarat and a book of memoirs entitled Nel Paese dei Veleni, in the Land of Poisons, which was a huge sales success and was followed by an English edition. Few years later, the publisher Franzonio suggested him to write a second book of memoirs about his expeditions to the island of Nias. The book was a considerable success, but it did not bring the author either the hope for revenues or official recognition from the Italian government. In his first book, Cerruti expressed a particular vision on the colonialism. On the one hand, he declared himself in favor of Western colonial expansion, as it would allow the Taimarat to live in peace thanks to British protection, preventing invasions by neighboring populations. Still, in some cases, he expressed strong condemnation of imperialism, which, in his opinion, would end up destroying the local Malay culture, standardizing it to Western values. In these times, the desire to preserve knowledge of the Taimarat people prompted Cerruti to include a lengthy ethnographic digression in the volume, dedicated to reconstructing various aspects of the culture, albeit not without the cliches typical of the era. Cerruti reported data on the origins of their history, described very social structures, both familial and social realities observed by the inhabitants of the village, their medical and scientific knowledge for treating illnesses. He had a dictionary based on the Italian Malay dictionary published by Gaggino, and in his book he reported some word in Maiderat and the traduction in the translation in Italian and in English. I conclude with the last considerations. The connections between the Malay Peninsula and Italy prompted knowledge of local cultures and scientific progress in the fields of ethnography and natural sciences. Despite the failure of colonial attempts and the low volume of Italian trade with East Asian countries, the scientific expeditions conducted by the Navy and the study missions organized privately by explorers in the following decades contributed significantly to Italy's integration into transnational networks of scientific knowledge, based on international academic debates and the sharing of findings collected during their travels. The opening of new museums and the transfer to Europe of naturalistic specimens and ethnographic artifacts encouraged the travels resumption and the start of commercial activities in the area. The Malay Peninsula was initially little explored by Italian adventurers because it was already part of the British Empire and it wasn't territories legally considered the rational use. Giovanni Gaggino successfully established a profitable trading company with branch in Siam and China. At the same time, Giovanni Battista Cerruti discovered gold and tin deposits in the lands of the Maiderat. In this sense, in the following decades, Malay Peninsula became one of the most promising regions for entrepreneurs and traders. Both the writings and photographs, they successfully disseminated linguistic and cultural knowledge of the peoples they encountered throughout Europe, respecting their traditions and social structures at a time marked by the expansion of Western imperial networks across Asia and Africa. This is it. I wish to thank you all for your interest and for your attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Alessandro. Thank you.